This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at the markets, I'm Tyler Donaldson. In the week ending October 1st, funds cut their short positions in the corn market in half. Short covering was the largest for any week in nearly 5 months. Money managers dropped their net short position by nearly 35,000 contracts, down more than 40,000 on the week. For wheat, the technical trade brought the net short side of the market to a two-year low. South American weather will be closely watched over the next few weeks. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strawman expects weather to be the major market driver.
They'll certainly be looking at the Brazil weather in the Sunday night forecast. And, you know, we've seen a lot of support in the soybeans because of the dry conditions in Brazil. So that's going to be watched. And I think the southern plains as well. You look at winter wheat planting, and we're in October now, and it remains dry there, and nothing really in the forecast. So I think weather is going to be the big thing here.
A Russian missile strike damaged a ship loaded with corn while it was parked in a Ukrainian port. The civilian vessel was loaded with 6,000 tons of Ukrainian corn. Ukrainian government officials said this is Russia's latest attempt to influence the food corridor on the Black Sea and damage global food security. According to Red River Land Company, 10 shares of American Crystal Sugar Company stock sold for $5,650. Nearly 800 shares are also for sale at the same price. With cattle prices more than ideal through the summer, Rugby livestock owner Cliff Mattson says he never really saw cattle movement slow down through the sale barn.
You know, so far this summer, it's been a real kind of a strange summer, because normally our slow times are, you know, June, July, and August. That's when we go every other week. But this year, we didn't really get a slow time for a lot of the way-up cows. They kept coming. I don't know, because people were busy farming and just, you know, it seemed like slaughter cows just kept coming kind of all the way up until about the 1st of September, when they kind of started backing off a little bit.
USDA crop production estimates all ended within trade expectations. Corn production forecast at 15.2 billion bushels, up from 15.1 billion in the September report. Corn's predicted to average 183.8 bushels per acre, up 0.2 of a bushel from last month. Soybean production is estimated at 4.6 billion bushels, up marginally from September. Soybean yields are expected to average 53.1 billion bushels per acre, which is in line with last month. USDA made no change in the soybean ending stocks from last month and dropped the corn carryout from 2 billion bushels to 1.99 billion. Wheat ending stocks totaled 812 million bushels, down from 828 million in September. Total red meat and poultry supplies were raised from last month in today's USDA supply and demand report. Beef production was raised with an increase in cattle slaughter and heavier dressed weights. Pork production declined, influenced by a slower pace of slaughter and lower weights. Both broiler and turkey production was lowered. The 2024 milk production forecast was lowered slightly, with milk output on a per cow basis down from the last report. National Agriculture Statistics Service increased the national sugar beet yield forecast to just over 33 tons per acre. Sugar beet production increased by 185,000 tons to 35.5 million. Total Farm Marketing market analyst Sam Swanson says the grains reacted more to outside news today than the supply and demand report.
Mostly a quiet report for the most part. Anything really surprising in the report. Corn yield, it was raised slightly, which is a little bit of a head-scratcher, but nonetheless, carryout's below 2 billion bushels, which is good to see. So proving that demand's there for corn. Soybeans, on the other hand, basically an unchanged report from last month. Soybeans are testing the 50-day moving average here at 1010. Currently we're at 1005, so it looks like we could close below that, which opens the door to get to go and test the $10 level. Pretty quiet day, I guess, for the most part.
And that's your look at markets this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network.
A lot of things have changed over the years since cooperatives first took hold in North Dakota. But one thing that hasn't changed is the spirit of cooperation. For more than 90 years, Farmers Union has championed that spirit into member-owned cooperatives that provide valuable services and products to all North Dakotans. Join Farmers Union in celebrating the cooperative spirit that's alive in our communities and in us all. Because if it's October, it's Co-op Month.
October is National Co-op Month, celebrating the impact cooperatives have on our daily lives. One out of every three Americans are members of a cooperative, and there are more than 40,000 co-ops nationwide. With the cooperative movement, farmers leverage their combined influence for the good of all. This October Co-op Month message brought to you by the North Dakota Farmers Union, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, and its Dinner Bell Creamery. The future is cooperative. This week in agriculture. Once all the votes are counted and the election is over, lawmakers will return to Washington, D.C. for a lame duck session. The plate will be full for Congress, but Pearl Farmer consultant Jim Wiesmeyer expects to see help for farmers and ranchers.
We're going to get an ag disaster, a hurricane disaster bill, and maybe even a farm financial transition payment going into a new farm bill. I do think the odds are rising, this may surprise you, that we could still even see a new farm bill yet this calendar year, because both either Trump or Harris want to have as much done in the lame duck as they possibly can to hit the ground running in their new administration next year. Now, that's a lot of ifs there. But again, you're going to get financial assistance for the ag sector because it's hurting right now.
According to Wiesmeyer, Congress takes on a different atmosphere after the election and will be open to spending money. Fires across western North Dakota causing devastating losses last weekend. North Dakota Stockmen's Association Executive Vice President Julie Ellingson says the northwest part of the state was especially impacted.
That, of course, is a strong livestock area, and so many cattle producers were amongst the victims of the fire and are still battling in some cases the fire is still today, while others are having a chance maybe for the first time to take stock of what the situation is and accounting for some of the losses, which we understand to be quite significant. Of course, it'll be a long time until we know exactly what those numbers are, but we have heard many anecdotal stories of serious livestock losses, as well as things like farmsteads and fences, other infrastructure.
North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring activated the state's Hay Hotline for Rancher Relief as a resource to help those impacted by the dry conditions and especially those impacted by the wildfires. And the North Dakota Stockmen's Association and the North Dakota Stockmen's Foundation have launched a fundraiser. They've put in $50,000 for relief money going to the affected farmers and ranchers. You can find out more at the North Dakota Stockmen's Association website. Major phosphate fertilizer production facilities are located in the Tampa area. There was a last-minute shift in the track of Hurricane Milton, and appears the fertilizer plants missed the worst of the storm. With electrical outages, flooding, and recovery efforts in the area, it's still uncertain when workers will be able to return to work, but certainly a concern with that major storm. With the Iowa-based Pier Prairie Poultry shutting its doors, a million chickens found themselves without homes. Minnesota Commissioner of Agriculture Tom Peterson says they've been working nonstop to figure out what to do with those birds.
The issue is with kind of our just-in-time processing for livestock and poultry, those birds, many of them, were kind of ready to go. And so it's really tough to find homes for, several hundred thousand chickens that were ready to go on their size. And then also as an integrated company, so they also were providing feed to those farms. So then, you know, the feed was cut off, you know, their processing was cut off. And so the department, you know, we work closely with the growers to try to find a solution for that.
Funeral services for former South Dakota Senator Tim Johnson will be held Friday, this upcoming Friday, the 18th. Johnson spent 5 terms in Congress, 3 terms in the Senate. While in the House during the 80s farm crisis, Johnson introduced legislation that reorganized the farm credit system. Johnson was 77. I'm Don Wick. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Minnesota Corn knows you're busy running your farm and raising your family. That's why we've got your seat at the table during harvest and all year round. Each year, Minnesota's corn farmers fund $2 million in university-level research that leads to best practices and new uses that can expand the corn market and help corn farmers be the most sustainable farmers in the country. Have a safe and healthy harvest, and we'll continue working for you. Minnesota's corn farmers. Learn more at mncorn.org.
Like that morning cup of coffee, the Red River Farm Network is the best way to start your day.
Good morning, Farm News Time on the Red River Farm Network.
You'll get the latest market trends.
Looking at a grain market, we finally saw corn kind of trade its own fundamentals here.
Weather with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Cooler temperatures will be occurring in the northern plains and upper Midwest.
And today's top stories impacting your farm and your bottom line. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
With your look at weather this week in agriculture, I'm Melissa Hammer on the Red River Farm Network. Temperatures were pushing 90 degrees in parts of the region on Thursday. More northern areas saw temps top out in the upper 70s. A cold front moved in on Friday, with temperatures cooling off into the weekend. Highs will be in the 50s and 60s throughout the region. There is also a small chance of rain on Saturday. Hurricane Milton made landfall as a Category 3 storm. At their maximum, sustained winds were at 120 miles per hour. Major phosphate fertilizer production facilities are located in the Tampa area. There was a last-minute shift in the track, and it appears the fertilizer plants missed the worst of the storm. With electrical outages, flooding, and recovery efforts, it's uncertain when workers will be able to return to work. According to Farmers Business Network Director of Finance Sales T.J. Wilson, Hurricane Milton will have some lingering effects on farmers throughout the country.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest one is the fertilizer, and there's some unknown there. And obviously, there's some damage that happened here the last day down there. The extent of that damage, we don't know really, but that is going to have some impact on the fertilizer production. And really talk to your supplier and understand kind of what they're doing and what position that they're taking to try to help facilitate that and put you in a good position.
Western North Dakota is dealing with devastating fires this week. Authorities report the Elkhorn Fire at Grassy Butte has burned over 22,000 acres. The Bear Den Fire has impacted 12,000 acres. Over 400 power poles were damaged in the Ray Tioga Fire, and numerous farms have no electricity. Rural electric crews are continuing to work in the region. North Dakota Stockmen's Association and the North Dakota Stockmen's Foundation have launched a disaster relief fund to help offset losses from the fires in western North Dakota. An initial contribution of $50,000 has been made in the Out of the Ashes Wildfire Disaster Relief Fund and invites others to contribute to the effort. The money raised will be distributed in their entirety to the North Dakota cattle ranchers this winter after going through an application and nomination process. According to the Drought Monitor, nearly 90% of Minnesota is suffering from drought and 20% of the state is in severe drought. In South Dakota, the entire state is facing abnormally dry or drought conditions. Severe drought is evident in both eastern and western parts of South Dakota. Abnormally dry conditions are seen in more than half of North Dakota. Extreme western North Dakota, of course, dealing with extreme drought. Sugar beet harvest was affected by the heat throughout the region. American Crystal Sugar Company was shut down from Tuesday to Friday evening because of the extreme heat. Halstead, Minnesota farmer Rachel Arneson says harvesting sugar beets with the dry conditions is similar to pulling teeth this year.
It is so rock hard. I mean, we've seen these conditions before. We know how to address it, but like, you pull a beet out of the ground and it's almost like you're looking at like a dry socket in a gum line. You know, it's just, you see the perfect indentation of where the beet was. So it is what it is. But I mean, I expect the added wear and tear just because of the dry conditions, more so on our digging equipment than I guess on our lifter right now.
Kitson County farmer Dan Youngren doesn't expect many delays going forward.
And the forecast looks very favorable to just keep on rolling to the end now. Although Mother Nature holds the trump card where, you know, if she wants to make it cold, well, then we have to be right behind the rotabeater. And you can usually surf through a cold down to 29, 28 degrees and still keep harvest.
That's your look at weather this week in agriculture on the Red River Farm Network.
In a world hungry for growth and possibilities,
there is a name that stands above the rest.
Proceed, a trusted name in agricultural excellence.
For generations, we've been providing farmers with the seeds that ignite their success. From seeds to success stories, ProSeed is there every step of the way. Contact your local ProSeed rep today.
Need seed? Think ProSeed. ProSeed.net.
Check out the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. The East Polk County Farm Service Agency in McIntosh has two positions open. These are two full-time program analyst positions supporting the FSA programs administered at the local level. That's the East Polk County Farm Service Agency in McIntosh, Minnesota. Find out more on the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website.